Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, we had SEC Media Days last week. We've got Big Ten Media Days beginning a week from today. You'll be able to watch a lot of that on the Big Ten Network. I think they're going to have 4 hours of coverage for you. And the conferences are continuing with these, and we want to go out now and talk with John Sudsbury. He is Director of Communications and Media Relations for the Allstate Sugar Bowl. Hello, John. How are you?
Very good, Jack. How's it going?
Well, you are at Media Day festivities as we speak, right?
Yeah, I'm bounced over here to Big 12 Media Days in Irving, Texas.
All right. Do they always have it in Irving, Texas, or is this based on some new construction there?
It's the Dallas area.
Okay.
So as far as I can remember, it's usually been in the Dallas area where the Big 12 offices are headquartered. So right around this area, we're in a Westin hotel right near the airport, so it makes it convenient.
All right. Before we start talking about bowls and the future of college football and and a story that got a lot of attention last week in terms of agents out of the SEC session, there is an award that you're going to tell us about, and that is the Manning Award, and one person on that list, Michigan State junior Kirk Cousins.
Yep, definitely. The Manning Award, we have our preseason watch list, which we're releasing one player per day over a period right now. We're 14 days in. Kirk Cousins was our player, our quarterback of the day today. He's a great quarterback. He had a great year last year, and I think the thing about him that stands out, obviously good stats, honorable mention, all Big Ten, but his off-the-field stuff, the fact he's a team captain and such, he seems like a great kid. Haven't met him personally, but again, we look at all those factors in selecting our watch list.
Well, we know that Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, both very, very intelligent guys, and won a lot of honors off the field. Certainly Peyton, probably the poster guy for what you would want a student athlete to be, and now as a quarterback in the NFL has gone above and beyond. But how important is that to something like the Manning Award, or are you more inclined to go with stats and victories?
You know, I'll be honest with you, we are more inclined to go with stats and victories. I mean, what the honor is trying to recognize is the top quarterback in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest difference, there are a couple of other quarterback awards, but we actually include the bowl performances. Obviously, it's sponsored by the Allstate Sugar Bowl, and bowls, we feel, are often the biggest game of the year for most of these guys. So we do look at, you know, statistics, results, just their performance on the field. However, it's an added bonus when you have somebody. We had a Colt McCoy last year, won our award, did all kinds of things off the field. Good kid, doesn't get in trouble. I mean, that's going to be a factor as well. But the primary factors for our award are your success and performance.
All right. You have Facebook and Twitter releases to these daily nominees, right?
Yeah, trying to do something a little bit different, trying to get some fan involvement, make it a little bit more interesting for, you know, the fans of the different schools as well as the players themselves. It's, we have some of the players will follow us and kind of take a look to see, you know, are they going to be the guy today, or am I even going to make the list? So, you know, we try to get people to check back periodically to our Facebook page, or they can follow us on Twitter. And it's, you know, just something a little bit different. The social media seems to be, I don't know if it's the wave of the future, but it's definitely it's a wave right now. So we're trying to get involved with it a little bit and just seeing what happens with it.
You mentioned announcing one candidate per day. How many are you going to end up with? Is this one out of 50, one out of 30? What's the total?
I'm always debating. Should that be like secret so then people don't know exactly when it ends? But there's 33 guys who will be on the final watch.
33. Watch. Is it possible to get on it if you are not on it now at the start of the season, if you have a breakthrough performance in September?
What we do after about 6 weeks, we'll have some additions. No set number. Actually, Archie Manning's really the one who's very involved with it. He's a member of the Allstate Sugar Bowl committee, and I work very closely with Archie, and he's pretty in touch with everything going on. So after about 6 weeks, you know, we'll take a look at things and say, okay, you know, this guy hasn't played before this year. We're not going to put him on the watch list. All of a sudden, he throws for 400 yards every game. Yeah, there's a good chance he'll be making the watch list in the midseason edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, this is sponsored by the Allstate Sugar Bowl, as you mentioned, but who does the actual selection?
We have a national pool of media. There's a couple of local New Orleans media people on the list, and then there's a national pool, and all of the Mannings also vote.
All right, and I'm guessing that Archie Manning is still a god in New Orleans. Maybe it'd be interesting if there were an election between Archie Manning and Drew Brees.
Yeah, I don't know what would happen there. I think people would probably definitely vote for Archie Manning for that, only because they want Drew to continue quarterbacking the Saints. You know?
I understand. Well, in terms of the bowls and the health of the bowls, and I keep expecting there to be some pruning of what we would consider, most people consider, the lower tier bowls. We have one drop off, and it seems like two come on, and some people are still strong believers that the bowl system is healthy and is going to continue to flourish.
Well, it sure seems to be. I mean, like you said, the fact that people are stepping up to try to add bowls, there were more, you know, two bowls were added this year, as you mentioned, and there were, I believe, four or five cities which were trying to add bowls, and only two were approved. So there's obviously a reason there that people want to start a bowl, and that's because it is successful. You will get, you know, sponsors are interested in being involved. People watch the games on TV. You know, ESPN's bowl ratings have been through the roof on every game that they put on. And you get a lot of people locally, and you can contribute a lot to the local communities when you're running a bowl.
The Allstate Sugar Bowl has been one of the dominant bowls back since I can remember watching. I think the first one I remember watching Billy Cannon played in back for LSU and played Mississippi, I believe, in that game. And they had beaten Mississippi during the regular season on a famous punt return. And then
the Halloween run.
That's right. They came back 7-3, I think that was, and they came back and Mississippi beat them in the bowl game. But I remember that because it was the first time I ever saw color television.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. You know, it's an interesting thing. The Sugar Bowl was the first game on color TV coast to coast. I don't know if there were other bowl games, you know, locally or what have you, but that is interesting.
My our neighbor, I had a color television, so invited a bunch of people over, and I remember sitting there, and my eyes were so wide watching that game, and then the Rose Bowl, and I think I only asked my dad, like, every day for the next 6 months, when are we going to get a color television? And I remember when we did, what a breakthrough that was, and our producer, Scott, is of another generation. She's looking at me like I'm some sort of a dinosaur here. So,
well, now you have to get your 3D TV,
that's right,
and you have to wear the glasses to watch the games and all.
That's right, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not at that level yet, but we're still on color TV, though.
A lot of talk, John, about what would happen with a proposed playoff and where things might go, and certainly a lot of discussion, a lot of different models, and some that would maybe enhance what the BCS has done. Do you see any major changes coming in the next decade or so?
I don't know. You know, you can look at it, you know, one day you think one thing and the next day something else. I think the biggest challenge, obviously a playoff, I can understand why people would want to see that. It seems to work pretty well in other things, but college football is a much different entity than anything else. You know, it's a tough thing to figure out a proposal that actually works. You know, if you included the bowls as well, you know, how do people travel from week to week and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of different factors. I mean, you know, it wouldn't shock me if there was a playoff. It wouldn't shock me if there wasn't. You know, I think we're excited to be part of the system currently, and you know, we'll work with, you know, the conference commissioners and presidents and all, and hopefully the Allstate Sugar Bowl stays part of that, however they decide to determine their national champions.
And the way that it has worked since they have had the BCS and the national championship game, and teams that finish number one or two in the final rating system playing for the championship, and if it happens to be a team that you would normally have gotten in the Sugar Bowl, then I guess you get first selection, right?
Correct. For instance, if an SEC team's in the national championship game, we have the first opportunity to replace them, and And when that happens, we just about always, you know, when it has happened, we've always taken an SEC team, and I can't imagine us not. I mean, the SEC has been such a great partner for the Sugar Bowl for many years, and obviously being in the heart of SEC country, it just makes sense to have an SEC team in our game.
Well, and you almost always have an SEC team in serious contention, whether it is Alabama or Florida. Tennessee has been in that mix over the years, and LSU, of course, there are a lot of them. Auburn is certainly one of those kinds of teams. So you figure you're going to have an SEC team in the mix in the top three somewhere, just based on the strength of the kind of football that's played there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's very similar to, you know, the Big Ten country. You know, you always figure you're going to have a Big Ten team in the mix for the championship, too. You know, the SEC is a great league, so we've been blessed to be associated with them.
Last question, John. Last week at the SEC Media Days, a lot made about agents and their role in the corruption of college football. A lot of strong language, and we heard Nick Saban's pimp comments and some of the other coaches there talking about what had happened and what should be done. Do you think there's a consensus, and is the SEC a microcosm, or is it unique because of the kind of NFL prospects that it contains?
I think it's college football across the board. If you have a star player, probably at a 1AA school or, you know, an FCS school, as they call them now, agents will be, or unscrupulous agents will be trying to get involved with them. It's an unfortunate thing. I think it's like a lot of different things in society. You have bad people in every field, and they want to abuse the rules. So I'm hoping something can be done about it. There's nothing worse than when you have a great team. You know, North Carolina just pops into my head. You know, they have a couple guys who there are rumors about.
Right.
They could have one of their greatest seasons maybe ever in the history of the program. Obviously, everyone knows the Tar Heels is basketball, but they have a great defense and all. If something happens and some of those guys can't play and you don't get to see that team at its best, I mean, that's just unfortunate for all of us. And I don't know who's to blame. I think everyone a little bit, but it's unfortunate that you have these agents, though, who I don't think it's all the agents either, and that's what Coach Saban also said while talking about some of them as pimps. Some of them do the job the right way. So hopefully something can be worked out so we aren't seeing players get ruled ineligible.
Well, it was pointed out to me on Saturday that one of the agents who'd been involved in something like this was Nick's own agent, Jimmy Sexton, who was involved with Dante Stallworth when he was at Tennessee and led to him being ineligible. So I guess that's kind of interesting. But wherever there is money to be made, it's like steroids or anything else, you're going to find people who want to cut corners and find a way to make it.
Well, unfortunately, I think, and that's just with, players getting in trouble, too. It's been happening for, 100 years or what have you. There's some reason guys are going to be ineligible. You just hope that, I don't know, I just hope it's not people taking advantage of the players to get that. But like I said, it's an unfortunate thing, and hopefully something can be worked out. I think the pro leagues have to get involved, too, and they have to do something to these agents who are committing violations.
John Sudsbury, Director of Communications and Media Relations for the All-State Sugar Bowl, our guest. John, maybe we'll talk to you through the course of the year, depending on what kind of season Kirk Cousins has. Maybe we'll catch up to you before the Sugar Bowl.
Great. Have a big year out of Cousins. Win a lot of games there, and we'll have the Spartans down here in New Orleans.
Oh, that'd be great. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jack.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll be back with our final segment. Jack Ebling and Scott Eckersley coming back on 1320 WILS.